This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London and good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. It's nice to be back with you again.
Plenty happening this week. And I suppose front of center has been Donald Trump's trip to China.
Yes. So since we've last spoken, we've had a couple key economic metrics come out, as well as some more global stage geopolitics taking place as well. Maybe the place to start there, the latest negotiations or meetup between many U.S. tech CEOs and China. Of course, we had the long-awaited meeting between President Xi of China and President Trump of the United States. And this meetup actually went pretty well. I mean, there was a number of posts going around, headlines and things of the nature, with showing all the different tech CEOs from the United States stepping off the plane and into, you know, the ballroom to meet various leadership within China as well. And it was taken as a very positive thing for global markets. Another thing that we've talked over and over about on the channel, and we'll mention again in just a moment, is the overall optimism around the end of the Strait of Hormuz war still remains very in question. And what I mean by that is that when we look at the circumstance between China and the U.S., they agree that the Strait of Hormuz needs to be open, and also that, of course, the kind of taxing of ships going through is something that they're not a big fan of either. China also reiterated an interest in or a willingness to spend more money on U.S. oil, which was also taken as a good kind of omen. Now, I think overall, the way to summarize the U.S.-China meetup was that it was one of a lot of optimism. There was a lot of positivity from both sides on how it went. And I do think that that is a positive thing for markets. Now, at the time, the stock market reached an all-time trading high. But since then, in latest developments, we've had some new economic metrics and, of course, some continued worries about inflation that I think we have to speak about. And specifically, there was a report yesterday that was, of course, the Japanese inflation. And Japanese inflation came in higher than expected in the overnight session last night. This caused a large surge in global bond market yields. This, in combination with high inflation from the United States, as well as just the Iran war still ongoing with no clear, obvious end in sight, this challenges the inflation story. And actually, taking a quick look at yields here this morning, the U.S. 10-year yield is up by 2.14% in regards to its yield move one day from ago. And what we see here is it's reaching the highest point that we have seen in yields going back as far as, well, I'm just pulling up the chart here, almost back to May of last year. So what is this telling us? Well, the bond market is actually pricing in the distinct possibility that this year we may actually see a rate hike, or in the next 1 year, I should say. In the next 1 year, we could potentially see a rate hike from the Federal Reserve. And we also see this over in Japanese bond yields. I'm taking a look at the Japanese 10-year yield. This is reaching its highest point, I believe, on record at 2.702% at the time of recording this. And the reason that this matters, this is so impactful to global bond markets, is remember that Japan is a huge buyer of U.S. treasuries. And so if the Bank of Japan starts looking at this with worry and says, okay, we might need to get a move on with rate hikes, during a rate hike cycle, they may be less willing to expend their resources buying U.S. treasuries. So we see yields on a secular basis globally moving up today. We have the UK's yield moving higher by 2.8%. The EU's moving up 2.8% on the day. And so we look at these and we say, okay, what's going on here? Well, it is, again, worries about global inflation and a situation in which the anchor to all of it, the Bank of Japan, is very likely to want to stay more on the hawkish side in coming, you know, months and years. Now, they've been raising rates very slowly, but if inflation does start to tick up again, it's possible that not just the US and Europe and the UK may be looking at rate hikes, but perhaps the Bank of Japan as well, which signals some challenges challenging dynamics, and we see it very well reflected in the precious metals world as well today, Johnny. We have gold down 2.65%, down to its lowest point that we've seen in the last few weeks. But more importantly, let's just remind ourselves that at the beginning of this year, we were looking at $5,600 spot price on gold. We're now at $4,500. We're over $1,000 an ounce lower. And I think that the market is telling us that this is primarily due to the resurfacing of inflation and the Iran war. Now, this was a confusing topic for many traders watching markets because, again, it seems that a breakout of war would be some kind of a rush to gold, or a gold rush might take place as people flock to safety. But in this case, the safety was sort of the forbidden fruit in actuality, because at this point, we see gold is not acting at all as a protective hedge to geopolitics in this moment. And the reason is the spike in oil prices is causing the spike in inflation, or it's the uncertainty around oil prices and the sustainable problems that will last even if into the war happens tomorrow. You still have this dynamic of higher inflation due to disrupted supply chains in the oil world. So it is a challenging dynamic, and it does rewrite the script a little bit in regards to just how much inflation we are going to see, how long we're going to be working through this, and what it could mean for the bond market. And so in the meantime, silver is down 8.6% today at the time of recording. Gold is down 2.6%, give or take. Bitcoin also down 2.9%, challenged definitely by interest rates potentially staying higher for longer, or even seeing hikes globally. Of course, taking a look at U.S. bonds, we already mentioned them briefly, but they are selling off today, as well as most global bonds are. We see the NASDAQ down 1.6% today, the S&P 500 down 1.1% at the time of recording this, and the Dow Jones down about 1%. So we are seeing equities take a hit. That is expanding internationally as well. We have the German DAX down around 1.5, the UK stock market around 1.6. In the currencies world, we have the dollar coming in very strong today. Euro dollar's lower by 0.4, pound dollar down by 0.4%. Dollar yen is kind of flat on the day to everything going on. And if we take a look at things like dollar CAD, the dollar Canadian is up about 0.3%. And the Australian dollar and Kiwi dollar both down 1 and 1.2% respectively on the day. So you are seeing some currency moves in response to all of this as well, as inflation seems to be taking shape and taking root in this market.
Well, that's today's headlines, Nick. What about the week to come? What are the highlights we should look out for over the next few days?
Yes, that's right. So next week, we do have a busy one. Next week, we have a quiet Monday, but then on Tuesday, we have some UK economic data in the form of claimant count change. We have CPI out of Canada. And let's just see here in regards to Wednesday, we have CPI out of the UK, a meeting minutes for the Fed on Tuesday. That's going to be 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, employment data for Australia. And then on Thursday, we have, of course, our weekly jobless claims out of the United States. And we have flash PMIs and PMIs for several European jurisdictions as well. And then on Friday, we have University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers as well. With that said, that is going to wrap it up for next week.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.